This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Wall Street, Washington, and Silicon Valley all reacting to a new Chinese artificial intelligence model. ABC's Mike Dubusky explains why.
DeepSeek's R1 model reportedly outperforms equivalent American models, and it does so by using just a fraction of the computer processors needed by companies like OpenAI and Meta. DeepSeek has raised questions among investors over why U.S. tech companies need so many resources and spend so much money developing AI.
President Trump traveling to Florida today, where he'll speak to the House Republican leadership retreat this week. Confirmation hearings for some of his more controversial nominees, including Health Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, his pick for Director of National Intelligence. Researchers are in a new study published in a Canadian journal found that just 2.5 hours per week of moderate activity can have a major impact on overall health. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices are trending higher. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The average price of gasoline rose 1.6 cents per gallon in the last week. The average across the state today is $2.94. This is 19.4 cents higher than a month ago and over 21 cents per gallon higher than this time last year. The national price of diesel also rose, increasing 4.4 cents to stand at $3.65 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say oil prices declined over the last week following President Trump's speech at the World Economic Forum. He urged Saudi Arabia to lower oil prices by restoring production. Prices have stabilized for the time being, with crude more than $5 per gallon below prices a couple of weeks ago. Gas Buddy officials are monitoring any potential impacts from the possible U.S. tariffs on Canada and Mexico, as they are key sources of crude oil imports. That deadline is February 1st, and officials will be watching for the possibility of retaliatory tariffs. If the tariffs don't materialize, gas prices could stay relatively stable over the next few weeks until the seasonal rise that usually begins in mid to late February.
La Crosse gas prices have evened out at about $2.96 per gallon for the past week, although prices are trending upwards both locally and statewide to over $3 per gallon. Representative Derek Van Orden was in La Crosse over the weekend to tour the Family and Children's Center. His visit was to see what services the facility offered. Van Orden was asked about his thoughts on the January 6th insurrection pardons, and Van Orden said he supported the pardons for nonviolent people, calling their jail terms, quote, silly, but said that people that attacked police officers would get, quote, zero room for me. President Donald Trump pardoned over 1,500 people.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Bills lose in Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs 32-29. The Bills had the lead 10-7 in the second quarter, despite losing defensive back Christian Benford after he was carted off the field with another concussion. Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
You know, losing CB hurt us early there. You know, had a chance to convert a fourth down there, fourth and short. And then another fourth down late in the game there. It looked like we had a chance to catch it. Didn't work out that way.
The Chiefs are headed to their third consecutive Super Bowl. Head coach Andy Reid.
I'm proud of our guys battling. I mean, Pat Mahomes was phenomenal. You know, Travis Kelce, their leadership, Chris Jones. They didn't waver at all, and they know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
The Chiefs will take on the Eagles, who beat Washington 55-23. NBA, the Bucks are in Utah tonight to play the Jazz. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win at home over Nebraska, 83-55. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds and breezy today, maybe an afternoon sprinkle or flurry, and a high in the low 40s. Partly cloudy and a low in the low 20s tonight. More sunshine for tomorrow, breezy and highs in the mid 40s. Mild and dry for the rest of the week. Currently, it's 26.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kaye, will discuss the fallout from tribal and U.S. citizens getting caught up in the immigration sweeps. Also, which cabinet picks are in and out. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Matt Mayer, Greg Bach. No, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg Bach back on the board. I didn't realize Calvin got time off.
I was not aware of this, and I am unhappy with the approval without our, you know, I would want to vote.
Right. We didn't even get to vote on it. No, Calvin has a well-deserved day off.
Yeah, absolutely.
He will be back tomorrow. You have some well-deserved time off coming up a little later on this week.
Indeed. I go on vacation this Wednesday. I'll be gone until the following Tuesday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to Memphis.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to Memphis. We like to go
there's a song about that.
There's a lot of songs. Some people are from there, too.
I've heard that.
It's an up-and-coming town. I don't know if you know about it.
You're going to be doing some barbecue.
There'll be some barbecue eating, some music listening, some walking around. I guess we'll be walking Memphis.
There's
Memphis. Another song. Seriously, do they not stop writing songs about it? No, we're looking forward to it. It's our yearly January trip we like to take and just get out of
town. Take a break, right?
Yeah.
So in your absence, I'm going to have some friends doing some fill-in for you. Mm-hmm. Emily Zephos is going to join me on Wednesday and then also on Monday. We've had Emily on the show before. She's very active in Wisconsin politics, and we're going to talk with her. She's going to join us. Angela Lang from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, will be my fill-in guest host on Thursday. And then Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here for the whole show.
Nice.
Coming up on Friday. So, yes, we have a lot going on. In Greg's absence, well-deserved time off. I'm excited for you, and I look forward to hearing all about it when you get back. We have all kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. We're going to do a little update. If you joined us on Friday when Dan Schaefer was here, we talked about the cuffle kerfuffle.
Are we the only ones calling that?
So named by Mr. Schaefer,
exactly.
Which is pretty good. But we have an update on some of the blowout of this CBS 58 meteorologist being fired after posting some critical comments about Elon Musk on her personal page.
Yeah.
And there have been some interesting letters to the editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So we will be sharing some of those coming up after 10:30. We'll have an All the Best People update. No surprise, I wasn't surprised. Pete Hegseth was confirmed as Secretary of Defense. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, the two Republicans who did not cast their votes in his favor, along with Mitch McConnell, big deal. And as I predicted, J.D. Vance was the one who cast the deciding vote.
You predicted not just the vote happening, but you predicted the strategery of it all. Of McConnell, Murkowski, and Collins voting no, but yet J.D. Vance voting yes. Like, you You were playing 3D chess, man.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that pretty good. Thank you. Next hour, Dr. Danielle Johnson will be here. She's also been very involved in Wisconsin politics. And we're going to talk about Ben Wickler and his shot at heading up the DNC. The vote is February 1st.
Yeah.
This Saturday.
It's, oh my gosh.
I know. Isn't that hard to believe? It's going to be February already.
We have one really, really, really cold month left. And then we're talking about spring.
11:33, we're going to kick around the Oscars. Do Best Picture nominees all have to be boring? It seems to be a trend. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you've seen a bunch of these and you love them. But we'll talk about that. We will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, getting snippy with it. It's an interesting one. You may want to stick around.
Cut it out.
Ooh, good.
Thank you.
We're going to start off, though, talking about President Trump's, of course, plans for mass deportations and promising massive tariffs on our allies like Canada and Mexico and what that is going to do to us here, not just around the country, but here specifically in Wisconsin. Article from Hope Kirwan in today's Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin experts say new policies on trade and immigration could hurt farmers. Ag industry leaders talked about the Trump administration's policy changes during their annual forum at UW-Madison. Of course, he has threatened new tariffs. He is planning to deport millions of people. That's what he ran on. All the signs, mass deportations now. People very excited about that.
They're seeing it as, and they're advertising it as promises kept.
Yeah.
But we know that there are also, with promises kept, come repercussions.
Yeah, that never seems to come up. It just seems like this is a great idea. Let's do this without taking a look at what the ramifications could be.
Yeah. Yep.
Chuck Nicholson, Associate Professor of Ag and Applied Economics at UW-Madison, one of the speakers at this event recently in Madison, he says if we substantively implement some of the policy ideas talked about prior to the inauguration, I think this will pose some pretty significant economic challenges for the farmers of Wisconsin and the U.S. generally.
Which is something we're not the first ones to talk about, but this is something we've been talking about with farmers, between each other, with other civic media hosts for months now. I mean, the place where the farmers are at to begin with is not wonderful when it comes to this country. The farm bill is still not passed.
Yes.
But then you also put into the fact that they have to worry about ICE showing up to their property and taking their employees. And as if I'll accept anyone now going, well, what do you mean the farmers are in trouble? No, we knew this was going to happen. This was a foregone conclusion.
Pretty much. Let's not forget, during Trump's first administration, he also put the tariffs into place, which were met with sweeping retaliation on U.S. farm goods, which hurt prices and demands for Wisconsin products, including soybeans. That's the biggest one. Pork and then dairy products. He said that during that Mexico, Canada, and China are the top buyers of U.S. dairy products.
And what happened to the U.S. farmers after that? What did Donald Trump have to do during his first term to help the farmers out?
To help mitigate the damage that he incurred.
He had to cut a $12 billion check.
Yes. Yes. Something else to keep in mind as far as our farmers are concerned, tractors and machinery, a lot of that stuff is made in Mexico. And as we said for months leading up to the election, tariffs are a tax that the American people pay.
Yes.
It is not the people who are importing these. It's not the people who are exporting these, rather. It is the people who are importing these goods that have to pay the tariffs, and they pass that on, I don't know, to us, the consumers.
Yep. I'm sure you've seen this, too. You've seen videos of people who think they know how tariffs work, and then the look on their face when someone just says step by step how you just said it. The importer pays the exporter the tariffs, and then passes that cost. Like, one, two, three, there's the process. And now you are the ones paying more for it. This is not something that any of us are sitting here going, ha-ha, yeah, see what we told you? We don't want this to happen.
No.
But this is what's going to happen with the tariffs. And that's just, and this is nothing new either. This is how tariffs have always worked.
It's kind of basic economics.
I mean, yeah, and if I'm talking, if I'm speaking with confidence on economics, you know it's simple. Very simple.
Could say that for me as well. Yeah, it's concerning. A report from UW-Madison estimates that immigrants without legal status perform 70% of the labor on Wisconsin dairy farms.
Yep.
Manufacturing, hospitality, construction, factory workers all across the board. This will be detrimental to our economy. Our gross domestic product will retract. That's not good.
It's also going to be like, when we talk about this subject, we talk about the loss of labor, which is very, very important. But we also have to talk about the fact that undocumented people who are working in America can and do contribute to taxes.
They pay taxes.
They pay taxes to just in Wisconsin alone, the tune of $220 million. So you take away a vital part of labor to farming, industry.
Hospitality.
All these. Then you take away billions. I said billions with a B. Billions of dollars in tax revenue from these individuals. We're hurting even more then. So fine. All right. You want to do this? Go for it. What is your solution then?
Well, as we were told before the election, there's going to be some short-term pain.
Two years.
Just 2 years of pain, of economic pain, according to Elon. And then it's all going to be good. Of course, in the interim, from the NBC Bay Area station, the California Farm Bureau says fears in the Central Valley of California have led to migrant farm workers not showing up for work.
Would you?
Which has virtually stopped their citrus harvest. So if you want oranges or limes or lemons, you can only freeze that stuff for so long.
No, I mean, and you still need labor. You still need labor to show up. And that's the problem, is when you have ice showing up to these farms and ice showing up now, I guess, schools and ice showing up all over the place, people aren't going to come. They're going to just stay away.
And their fruit's going to rot.
Exactly. And they will lose. The farmers will lose money. You will not have access to those products, making those products go up in price, because we're doing mass deportations on a nationwide scale.
The Farm Bureau in California says the threat of deportation could be enough to stop about 55,000 migrant workers that they need during the harvest season. Just some short-term pain, Greg.
But
just,
promises kept, Jane.
No kidding. And Dr. Phil has jumped into this. We'll kick that around coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach on the board, Calvin off today, enjoying a little rest. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg, I forgot to do this at the top of the show. The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin today, $3.10. The average price of a dozen large eggs, $5.09. We'll be keeping an eye on that, especially as apparently mass deportation is going to continue to happen, and we have to worry now about bird flu. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but we were talking again about Trump's plans to institute massive tariffs on our allies like Canada and Mexico, and a couple of comments coming in on the live stream. Cam from Appleton, "I outlined everything and more about why this will hurt us on next door. Some dude near me told me if I don't like it, I should get on a plane to Colombia."
What?
And then a bunch of conservatives reported my post as being discriminatory.
I don't even. Good old community notes. Why have fact checking?
Tom from West Dallas, "Have you noticed all of these ICE raids are happening in blue states?" Of course, that absolutely is part of the plan. Trump isn't going to hurt his supporters, and he's certainly not going to go after businesses that have given him campaign donations. He'll exempt those folks,
or he'll do them dead last, or he'll come up with some sort. Yeah, he'll come up with some sort of emergency program you can sign up for. It's a fast track. It will be saved. And oh boy, Idaho and North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, all those states, they'll be safe.
Well, otherwise, just give him a big campaign donation.
True.
And your business is off the hook.
And then you might get to be a secretary.
There you go.
There you go.
The best position money can buy.
There you go.
Jake from Milwaukee, "The plan is to consolidate and buy smaller cheese and dairy producers in Wisconsin, meaning only the larger companies that work with the big five food distribution conglomerates will survive mass deportation and the tariffs to Mexico and Canada, the two largest markets for Wisconsin dairy." Yeah. It's going to make it really, really hard for small producers. And this is a great opportunity for the big guys to come in and just gobble them up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't. We could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, Jane.
855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack is on the line, and I see you're coming up next. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Yeah, good morning. I'm old enough that I used to watch on TV some of these old Oh, they were World War II based mysteries and war movies and such. And if you were in Europe, there was always a scene where there were these Nazis and they were confronting some people and they would say, "Do you have your papers?" And that's what we're looking at here. Is anybody really naive enough to actually believe the roundups of tens of millions of people who probably either look different or don't speak English, or at least not as a first language, or simply don't happen to have their birth certificates? Do you have yours, by the way, on you? Or naturalization paper? Do you keep those on you? You don't think that they won't catch some American citizens? From what I've read, this has actually already happened in a couple of cases, and it's going to get worse.
Yep.
This is what an authoritarian regime does. It works on fear and hatred of and scapegoating. It's all the immigrants' fault. It's all the fault of the Jew. Oh, oops, I can't say that, can I? Anyway, you get what I'm saying.
Well, and I think too, Jack, I think this intentional pitting of people against each other who are basically on the same economic scale, that's to divert attention from the oligarchs taking everything and running with it. They need us to fight each other and not pay attention to what they're doing in the background. That's what I think. Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate it. And from Chippewa Falls, you are up next. Good morning, Ann. What did you want to say about this?
Yeah, I was just wondering if we are voting, were we voting on the economy, or were we voting on Make America White Again? I'm just very curious because I went grocery shopping this weekend and the prices have substantially gone up.
Yep.
And all these people that call in from right-wing media, Newsmax is the new one, and the prices could go up to $15 for a dozen eggs, and they'll call in and say, "But Newsmax said Biden and Kamala." Like, that's the first thing out of their mouth. They don't care if our world is crumbling around us. They'll say, "But Newsmax said that Biden and Kamala." It's like, give me a break, people. They don't even care.
Yeah, when they're so far off in another reality, Ann, I don't know how you bring them back. I really don't, because they will always make excuses for Trump. Always, no matter what he does.
Yep, and I want you and Greg to look into Tom Hartman. He's got Greg Palast on, talking about the swing states, how all these black and brown votes were thrown out, surprise, and how Kamala really won a lot of these swing states, and she also won the popular vote. So do some research. That should be news, you know, all over, but it's not.
I appreciate that, and we will check that out. And thank you so much for listening. Always really appreciate it. Cassandra on the live stream, when is someone in Congress going to propose a year-long visa for farm work? Or has that already been attempted and shot down? Seems like common sense. It does seem like common sense. But again, this goes back to our long-running tradition of kicking immigration problems down the road because nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to deal. It's a difficult, big thing. And it just doesn't seem like anyone has the will to take it on.
There are some hard truths that need to be discussed when it comes to immigration.
Both sides.
Well, one side has no problem saying things out loud. They're just like, throw them out. But they don't want to talk about nuance. The Democrats don't want to say, well, there are people we'll have to get rid of. Even though you look at Biden, you look at Obama, their administrations had no problem deporting people. So it's about actually getting in front of the cameras and saying, here is our solution. We've come to together. Not everyone's going to like it, but this is how we try to move towards a solution. But they're just, it's almost turned, it's like they used to call Social Security the third rail of politics, touch it and you die. It almost feels like immigration's that now.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to be like, well, maybe mass deportation isn't the exact solution on the right or on the left. You have to say, we need to have some hard conversations.
News is coming up next. When we return, we will talk about the couple kerfuffle and the continuing fallout from the firing of that CBS 58 meteorologist. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Got
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Law enforcement officials in Tennessee say there's a potential link between a Nashville shooting this week and one in Madison at Abundant Life Christian School last month. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
17-year-old Solomon Henderson was the shooter in Nashville this week. His social media account, according to ABC News, was followed by Natalie Rupnow, the Abundant Life Christian School shooter. Henderson, who allegedly killed a female student before taking his own life in a Nashville high school cafeteria, may also have interacted with Rupnow on social media prior to her attack in Madison last month.
Two people were killed and six were hurt in the Abundant Life Christian School shooting last month.
No people were hurt in two separate house fires near Sparta Sunday morning. Fire officials said the first fire happened at a home on Highway 71 south of Sparta in the town of Wells. The attached garage was heavily damaged by the fire, with the home suffering minor damage. A second fire happened at the same time north of Sparta on Cardinal Road, with a call of multiple explosions being heard. The home and garage in the town of Little Falls were fully engulfed when crews arrived. Two dogs and two cats died in the fire. Both fires are being investigated. Toma High School was placed in a hold on Friday after bullets were found in a high school bathroom. The district kept students in classrooms while administrators and law enforcement searched the building. No firearms were found, and there were no threats discovered during the investigation. Police stayed on campus for the rest of the day as a precaution. All students were accounted for, according to school administrators. Law enforcement was called immediately after the bullets were found. Two committees for the La Crosse City government meet today. The Public Works Board has a handful of permits to consider. The International Committee has a longer list of tasks, including an update on La Crosse's sister cities from around the world. The committee will also discuss the sister cities page on the city website and have a discussion on the committee's budget. The only other committee meeting this week for the city is the Human Rights Commission, which meets on Wednesday evening.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies, because he purchased the home in 2024 for $17 million smackers. Not many people pocket $133 million on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A milder day today with a few sprinkles possible, but the main story will be the wind. Wind gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. High temperatures near 40. Tonight, partly cloudy and still breezy with a low near 19. Mostly sunny and still breezy on Tuesday with highs in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 30.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Deming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. Calvin is off today. How does that happen?
Must be nice.
We are coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, you can stay up to date with all the latest news across Wisconsin. Just subscribe to the Civic Media Digest. Go to civicmedia.us/email. You can also get top podcast hours of your favorite Civic Media shows, news and commentary from our great Civic Media news team, and also find out what is going on across the entire statewide network. And that comes right to your inbox every week. So check it out. Go to civicmedia.us/email. Next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, Dr. Danielle Johnson will be joining us. Going to be talking about Ben Wickler and his shot at heading up the DNC. Looks like he's got one pretty strong challenger.
I want him to win.
I do, but at the same time, I want him to stay in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but it's time. When does he leave then? When does he go on and do greater things?
Never. He never gets to go on and do
greater things. That's the problem.
Am I being somewhat selfish?
I think you are. I think you're being very Wisconsin about this. You got to let the boy fly. Let the boy fly.
We love him. Set him free.
Exactly.
All right. Fallout continues from CBS 58 firing meteorologist Sam Cuffell after on her one of her personal social media pages, she posted about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Making what she called a Nazi salute during the inauguration. Dropped a couple F-bombs in there.
Mm-hmm.
They fired her.
Yep.
And not everyone thinks this was a good thing.
No.
It's been interesting to see the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says they have gotten all kinds of responses and letters to the editor about Sam Cuffell's firing. I'd love to hear what you think about this. Was it fair? Was it unfair? Mm-hmm. Should she have been fired? Should they have suspended her? I don't know, like they've done with numerous male media personalities. They just seem to get a little vacation and then they come back.
Yeah.
But this, you know, she's female. So
you and I will say you and I disagree with this. I don't think it was specifically that she was female. I think it was specifically that she was not a ratings getter. I think I would have been interested to see if she was. I mean, I don't know about you, Jane. Tell me if I'm wrong. But are there any in radio or on television? There are celebrity meteorologists. There's people we know. There are faces we know.
Right.
Would they be fired if they were like the big name? I'm asking this as a person who doesn't know.
I would say probably not.
Okay.
If she had all kinds of endorsement deals and it was bringing in all kinds of advertisers and stuff, they'd probably treat her a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I have worked with people who behaved unbelievably badly who never got reprimanded because the ratings were good and revenue is good. But I still wonder if there might not just be a small gender thing in there. The lady dropped some F-bombs. Oh, no.
I think
that makes it so much worse.
Definitely part of the discussion. I think it also has to do with the fact that they criticized the vice president. I'm sorry, Elon Musk. And a lot of networks are afraid of them now. And it's and I don't even know if they're afraid of Trump. Is it just the people calling and texting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and not to mention, let's also not forget, one of the reasons why this was really brought to light is because another person on radio tattletaled it out to social media like a child. So,
yes, and that's a person whose colleague was suspended for 2 weeks.
Oh, yes.
And then brought back.
Yes.
Because he apologized. Because he didn't realize that Tim Walz's son was on the autism spectrum.
Yeah. At first, I love that. And I'll say, Jay Weber, I'll say it. I just love that. Well, I didn't know he was autistic. That's not an excuse or an apology. And then it took, I think, 2 full days for a full, I'm very, very sorry. I try to be. And then everyone just starts pulling up examples from the past where he does make fun of children on a regular basis, of the children of Democratic leaders and whatnot. It's like too little too late, man. But like you said, a nice healthy 2 week vacation.
Yeah. Get back to, you know, just regroup a little bit.
Yeah.
Regroup a little bit.
Yeah.
This from James Fitzhenry in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We got hundreds of comments from readers about the firing of Sam Cuffell from CBS 58. Among the comments, Kay from Glendale said, tyranny is closer than it appears. Janice from Milwaukee, unfortunately, people may feel that they can't voice their opinion if they believe there's going to be retribution of some type. That's not freedom of speech and shouldn't be bullied into silence. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Paul from Milwaukee, online shaming never ends well for anyone. Tom from Green Bay, stay in your lane, child, and grow up. Your opinion matters not to me, and I suggest you stop thinking so highly of yourself. It doesn't work out well for anyone in the long run. I would love to hear from this gentleman how he feels about, I don't know, Travis Butker checking in on what women's role in society should be. Travis Butker, by the way, a football player.
He's a kicker. Let's not give him too much credit.
Whatever. He still plays with balls.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he stay in his lane?
Yes, absolutely.
Shouldn't Ted Nugent stay in his lane?
Oh, my God. I wish he'd just get out altogether, but that's not the point. The question I have, Jane, and can you read his statement again? I want you to read that, his thoughts on the matter.
Stay in your lane, child, and grow up.
Okay.
Your opinion matters not to me, and I suggest you stop thinking so highly of yourself. It doesn't work out well for anyone in the long run.
So let's just break down that. First of all, I don't know what he was reading, because Ms. Cuffell in no way, shape, or form asked for sympathy, didn't cry about it, didn't wail, moan, or complain about it, which are all things the president does anytime someone says a negative thing about him. And she posted what she posted. She was let go from the job. I don't know about you, but I've seen nothing but pictures of her smiling and excited and having a good time in life. She is living her life. And if it matters not, then why was she fired in the first place?
Right.
If it doesn't matter to you, why are you commenting at all?
Why should Hulk Hogan be commenting on politics? Shouldn't he stay in his lane of ripping off his shirt and jumping on other men in rings?
And also just dropping, you know, racist slurs. But that's beside the point. I mean, yeah, it's always, what do you say, Jane? It's always all for the, say it again.
Oh, it's fine for me, but not for thee.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's fine for our guys who are not involved in politics. It's fine for our supporters to complain, but Democrats don't ever get to do that.
No.
Ever.
And when they do, shut up, stick to what you know.
Right.
Because no one wants to hear from you.
Shut up and dribble.
Yep, shut up and dribble, unless you're a kicker. And then please tell us about your thoughts on women.
Kathy from Hartford, my hometown.
Ooh.
Be careful what you post on social media. Linda from Milwaukee, conservative radio stations should not be telling networks who to fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want us to read off more names of people who are suspended and not fired because they're ratings getter and they're more afraid of losing the money than they are about having integrity?
Yeah.
So that guy who wrote the note, the gentleman who tattletaled on Twitter, you sit down. You shut up. Let her speak what she wants. Now, there is a case to be made that when you work for a news organization, a media organization, there really is no such thing as a private account.
No.
Unless you make your account private. But even still, people can see it if you allow them to view your posts. She used, what did they say in Ted Lasso? Fruity language. And I can understand why people will be upset about that. I get that. But she's the freedom to do what she wants. Should she have lost her job? I don't think so. Not without an investigation, not with a little more work, and not without, you know, a two-week vacation. Give her a two-week vacation.
I will say this from my experience.
Yeah.
And again, I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
I have signed contracts in the past.
Yes.
That include a code of conduct,
mm-hmm.
which is so broadly written.
Yeah.
It can cover just about everything.
It can cover anything they want to cover.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yes. Troy from Mount Horeb texting in, I agree with you, but it's Harrison Butker. I'm sorry. Did I get that wrong? Appreciate that, Troy.
What did you say?
I thought I said Harrison Butker.
Oh, well, he's.
But I know I got Butker right.
Yeah, because you always say it like that.
I'm pretty sure that was
accurate. Yeah, I think that. I remember I had the conversation last week, Wednesday. I was at the open mic at the Laughing Tap, laughingtap.com. And I said, you know, I'm not surprised by this. I don't like it. As Pat said the next morning, I stand with Sam to say what she wants, especially in this message, because we're talking about a man who is literally next to the president probably right now, shoving Nazi salutes up in the air during an inauguration ceremony. She gets to feel how she wants to feel. And if CBS 58 can't handle that, that's not our problem. They should stand behind her and, I don't know, freedom of speech, fighting against tyranny. I know it's not their line, but freedom dies in the darkness. That's something that, you know, a news organization should follow.
That used to be a slogan. It's not anymore, by the way.
Oh, no. The Washington Post is deep in the darkness. Yeah. That door is closed. No one can see it.
We're talking about the fallout from Sam Cuffell, who got fired from CBS 58. She's a meteorologist. After posting Elon Musk and essentially saying, yep, that's a Nazi salute. That's what I recognize it as. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel getting a lot of feedback on this. Diane from Sheboygan writing in, people need to relearn to stop flapping their lips 24/7. You need to get thick-skinned and big shoulders. Stop reacting to everything or everyone you do not like. Focus on your career and stay in your own lane.
The first half of it, I felt like that woman was addressing CBS 58 to have a thicker skin. Ah. But you never. And Jane, I know you don't like doing this, but I'm going to do this in the moment. There is a comment on the live stream that criticizes us. Because I don't know if you know this. Not everyone likes us.
I am aware of that, yes.
Darn it!
I know.
But what this person says proves our point. They say that the reason why Jay Weber was not fired is because he brings in tons of NAS revenues.
Didn't we say that?
Yeah. That's not the burn, dude, you think it is. It means that the group that he works for cares more about money than he does about a spine, a soul, and standing up for good values. I'd rather not have a lot of money in values or in a lot of money in ad revenue if I had to say the poison that some of these dudes say. So he can keep the money and keep his job. He has to make his deal with God later when he dies. So whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that as a big burn, but yeah. Whatever makes you happy. Jack from West Bend, it is a challenge managing millennials who believe social media affords them blanket immunity for all unfiltered thoughts. You're worried about unfiltered thoughts? That's an entirely different conversation.
Well,
the CBS 58 management team should have stepped back, weighed Cuffell's' value as a fresh and talented face of the channel, and worked through the issue.
Yeah.
Just saying you're fired is an amateur approach to talent management.
I also want to go back just a moment to blanket statement and that. That is the current president right now, who can't keep his mouth shut on social media in front of a microphone. And also just that was, to me, directed at Donald Trump, not at Sam Cuffell.
For her part, Sam Cuffell came out with a statement. In one post on her Instagram account, she says, first, I just want to thank everyone for the tremendous support I've received. In a statement to the Journal Sentinel, I was just voicing my personal opinion on a private social media account that was not accessible to the general public. I've never intended to harm anyone, Cuffell says, certainly not my former employer and colleagues. I'm still processing all of this and weighing my options. Again, I am deeply appreciative to all of those who have supported me through this.
There you go.
And I've also heard some rumblings that CBS 58 is just hoping that this will hurry up and go away.
It shouldn't, folks. If you don't like this, you should write in. I mean, from what I understand, there's a billboard going up across the street from them.
I've heard that as
well. Yeah. Ooh.
All right. When we return, all the best people, a little update for you. And don't worry about that bird flu, because the woman who wants to be the Department of Agriculture, she's going to learn about it.
Today?
Well, over time. Yeah, she doesn't know anything about it yet, but okay. It's all good. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
My top, and that sucker, he's going to pay. Lord, I can't wait to see their faces when I get the nerve to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can always leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Hey, there's a new version of the Civic Media app that you can download. Go to wherever you get your apps. Search for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download our app. You can sign up for news updates in your local community. Our news team curates it specifically for where you are. So if you're in La Crosse or Oshkosh, all the news that is pertinent to you, including local sports, which really is a big part of a lot of smaller communities, you can select the communities across the state that you want to get news stories from. So check it out, the Civic Media app. It is, as Greg likes to say, absolutely free. Next hour at this time, we will wrap it up as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Getting Snippy With It edition. Stick around for that. Right now, we have an update on all the best people. Donald Trump said in his first administration he would surround himself with all the best people. Now it's second time around. All the bestest people. This happened later on Friday, so I think a lot of people might have missed it. But yes, Pete Hegseth has been confirmed as the Department of Defense head. Whether or not he is qualified for this remains to be seen. He's going to have an enormous budget to oversee, considering that he helmed two small nonprofits and looks like he ran those into the ground. This will be interesting.
I mean, you said we'll find out if he's qualified. I hold on. This just in, he's not.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter, Hegseth said after taking the oath of office. All praise and glory to God.
Oh, that's it?
His will be done. We're grateful to be here. That is pretty much the get out of jail free card.
He's saved.
You can do horrible things in your life.
Yeah.
Sexual assault, public drunkenness, all kinds of things. But once, you know, once you come to God, you're brand new, baby.
Sexual assault, drunkenness, being the Fox Weekend co-host.
Oh, stop.
All the worst things.
Not a big deal. But I kind of predicted this last week. Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Mitch McConnell were the three Republicans who elected not to vote for Hegseth's confirmation. But I said at the time, Murkowski and Collins always do this. They have to go back and face their more liberal constituents, and they can say, well, we didn't vote for him, but we knew J.D. Vance was going to cast the deciding vote, and he would get confirmed.
I guess, why does McConnell even care? He's in his last term. He doesn't have to worry about anything anymore.
Is he caring about legacy now?
Oh,
I'm just asking.
I think it's hilarious that you think... Mitch McConnell, you have been the author of some of the most venomous bills on earth. You've said some of the worst things on the planet regarding your political opposition. But you voted against Pete Hegseth, and that really was a moment of shining democracy.
That just erases everything. Just erases everything.
What I was worried about my legacy.
The other big thing to look forward to, Trump pick for USDA secretary says she has a lot to learn about bird flu. At the same time, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from just a couple of days ago, Wisconsin grocers react to rapidly increasing egg prices. High demand and bird flu are the culprits.
So we do the egg prices every day. We do the milk prices every day. And I just want to let people know, this is how we figure out the egg prices.
Right.
I look at four different stores. Piggly Wiggly, mm-hmm. Pick and Save, two grocery stores, and then Target and Walmart, two non-traditional grocery stores.
To get the average.
To get the average. And Piggly Wiggly and Pick and Save almost every day is $5.99 for eggs. That is having to do with like the things that are happening right now. I see those prices every single day. And when people just start to think like, oh, the bird flu is not that big of a deal. Okay, wait until they're $7 a dozen.
Wait till they're 10.
Yeah.
But he was going to fix that right away.
Oh, yeah, it's fixed. First day.
He was going to, until he won, and then it was like, well, Donald Trump said this. Well, you know, once prices are up, they're very hard to bring down.
He said that on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, he said that out loud with words.
Jane, really quick, here's an update here. How's the war in Ukraine going? Didn't that end the day he took office?
It did not.
Oh, sorry.
And it's the war against Ukraine.
Sorry, you're right. Oopsie doodles, my mistake. I thought I was looking at victories.
Bird flu outbreak, by the way, has already affected more than 136 million poultry flocks and nearly 1,000 dairy herds. 67 humans have been infected with bird flu so far. One person has died. Public health experts continue assessing the risk to the general public. They say risks of infection are low, but they are keeping a close eye on bird flu spread among farm workers and livestock, as well as domestic cats. And yeah. Other mammals. But don't worry. Brooke Rollins, she's going to learn about it. She's going to learn all about it, Greg.
She's right now cracking the books. She's cracking the books right now. You hear that tapping, folks? That's Jane trying to hold in her rage.
Michigan Democratic Senator Alyssa Slotkin raising concerns about what happened during Trump's first administration in regard to tariffs. She is urging this Rollins to make sure Trump understands what will happen again if he puts steep tariffs on other countries. Yeah, it's going to be important to take these things into consideration, Greg.
Make China pay. China's going to pay for it. Okay.
Prices for a dozen eggs can go roughly as high as $6. That is almost double the price from a month ago. But don't worry. Donald Trump's in office. He's going to fix it.
Because it was always, Jane, about the price of eggs.
Right. Right. The price of everything. It's all going to go down, you guys. Don't worry. Even with the tariffs, it's all going to be fine. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages.
I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Survivors of the Auschwitz death camp are telling their stories at a ceremony in southern Poland marking 80 years since the camp was liberated. 86-year-old survivor Tova Friedman was one of the youngest to survive.
I thought that we all have to die, that it was normal. If you're a Jewish child, you have to die.
Leading the U.S. delegation, President Trump's Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff and Commerce Secretary nominee Howard Lutnick. Today, the president will speak to House Republicans at their retreat in Florida. There's concern from Washington to Wall Street and to Silicon Valley after a Chinese company's AI model outperformed the equivalent American models at a fraction of the cost. In Southern California, it's raining in areas that's helping wildfire efforts, but it's increasing the risk of mudslides. This is ABC News.